House State Affairs will come to order. I would like to start by greeting the people that are joining us via the internet, assuming there is anyone. And welcoming all the members of State Affairs back for another year. We have a pretty light load today, but I thought this would be a good chance to just take a practice run, get prepared for a busy session. I remind everybody that if you have cell phones, make sure they're set in the appropriate setting. With that, Secretary, please call the roll.
Representatives Bruner.
Here.
Cutler.
Here.
Dietrich.
Here.
Fain.
Here.
Gillespie.
Here.
Hargens.
Present.
Krebs.
Here.
Miles.
Here.
Moore.
Here.
Rave.
Here.
Turbeville.
Here.
Dykstra.
Here.
Roden.
Here. And since it's the first session, we have no minutes. So just as by way of reminder, if you have a bill you're testifying today, I would ask you to sign in on the sheet at the door. Reminder to the committee members that all committee discussion and questions should be directed through the chair. Obviously, we have some pretty non-contentious bills, but good practice as we move forward to get in the habit. Anything else before we get started? With that, then, we will take up House Bill 1015, an act to provide for the transfer of the state's interest in the Mobridge National Guard Armory to the city of Mobridge. House Bill 1015 is now open for public hearing and proponent testimony.
Good morning, Chairman Roman. Members of the Committee on State Affairs, Andy Gerlach, Department of Military and Veterans Affairs, and I'm proud to be here this morning as a practice player. 1015 transfers all of the state's rights, title, and interest in the Mobridge Army to the city of Mobridge. In 2006, the legislature appropriated both state and federal funds for the construction of a new National Guard Armory in Mobridge. Also, the city of Mobridge contributed approximately $550,000 to that effort. Construction began in October of 2006 and was completed this past September. The existing Mobridge Armory was constructed in the early 60s and really is of no use to either the South Dakota National Guard or the state of South Dakota. The city of Mobridge would like to use this facility as a maintenance shop, and it is our recommendation that we give this facility to the city of Mobridge. The Attorney General's office has advised us on how to properly transfer the old armory to Mobridge, and with concurrence of the Bureau of Administration and Office of School and Public Lands, we would like to do that. So, Chairman Roden, members of the committee, that completes my testimony. I'd be more than happy to take any questions.
Thank you. We will take further proponent testimony. Are there further proponents? Any other proponents? Seeing none, we will close to opponents. Are there any opponents? Seeing none, questions from the committee?
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Moore.
As long as this is a practice run today, we just as well start with some practice questions. If I might address a question to Mr. Gerlach.
Granted.
Mr. Gerlach, normally we have to get an appraisal on these types of things, and normally we can't sell them for less than 90% of appraised value. Could you tell me how you jumped through those loopholes?
I really hadn't done anything like this before, and what I did was talk to the Bureau of Administration when they had done this, and I said, how do we actually turn this thing over? And this is the way they advised me to do it right here. I personally am not aware of any appraisal laws or regulations related to this. Representative Moore.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Moore.
Well, and when I speak of that, I probably speak more in relationship to those properties owned by the Department of Transportation. But I was assuming that any state property would have to have a have an appraisal on it and be sold for 90% of appraised price.
We do have an appraisal on this. The building appraised for approximately $80,000 and the land $125,000.
Okay. Before you leave, any other questions for Mr. Gerlach? Representative Hargens.
So will they be paying that amount or some amount, or are we simply going to give it to them?
We're going to give it to them.
Any other questions? Seeing none, thank you. Any other questions? Any other questions from the committee? Seeing none, we will close to comments and or action. Representative Bruner.
Hey, Mr. Chairman, move to pass.
Moved by Representative Bruner, seconded by Representative Fain, do pass motion on House Bill 1015. Any discussion on that motion? Seeing none, the motion then is do pass House Bill 1015. All those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, nay. Secretary, please call the roll.
Bruner.
Aye.
Aye.
Fain.
Aye.
Gillespie.
Aye.
Hargens.
Aye.
Krebs.
Aye.
Miles.
Aye.
Moore.
Aye.
Ray.
Aye.
Turbeville.
Aye.
Dykstra.
Aye.
Roden.
Aye. Motion carries. House Bill 1015 goes to the floor. Do pass. Before we talk about that motion, I'd be curious to find out. I think Representative Moore raised some valid questions, and it kind of perked my curiosity as far as what the process is. And this bill will be assigned to you, Representative Bruner, and with the assignment of maybe providing a little information as far as how that does work. Agreed. And the bill will be assigned to Representative Bruner, and you can answer those questions along with that. Okay. With that, we will take up House Bill, and Mr. Gerlach, I would, perhaps you could provide some assistance in answering those questions for Representative Bruner. We will then take up House Bill 1041, an act to provide a preference for procurement of bio-based products. House Bill 1041 is now open for public hearing and proponent testimony.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Jeff Holden. I'm the Director of Procurement Management for the State of South Dakota in the Bureau of Administration. House Bill 1041 proposes two revisions to existing statute, specifically SDCL 5-2345. The current statute allows state and local governments to provide up to a 10% preference for the purchase of recycled products or starch-based products. The original legislation was put in place in 1992 to encourage the purchase of recycled goods. The term starch-based was added to the statute in 1993, and I believe specifically to allow state and local governments to purchase starch-based garbage bags, can liners, and similar materials, as long as the bid for those products didn't exceed the bid for non-starch-based goods by 10%. House Bill 1041 replaces the term starch-based with the word bio-based, and it provides a definition of bio-based. The definition is from the United States Department of Agriculture's bio-based program that is currently being put in place. Bio-based products are generally safer for the environment than their petroleum-based counterparts. They're usually biodegradable or recyclable. As I said, USDA has developed a bio-preferred program. Many states in the Midwest region of the United States are working together along with USDA, and we're working on how we can implement the USDA program in the states or coordinate with that program. They currently are putting together a database of products where the vendors will or manufacturers will voluntarily provide information about the products they'd like to provide, and then the USDA will test those products to see if they meet their minimum bio-based specification, and then we'll list them as, for lack of a better term, certified to be purchased under the federal program. We don't have to follow that program, but we'll use that database as a guide to us on what products would be qualified for the preference. Some of the examples of products that are currently listed on their website include diesel fuel additives, penetrating lubricants, roof coatings, water tank coatings, blankets, comforters, and pillows. There is a long list of other products that are going to eventually be on that list. House Bill 1041 also proposes that we reduce the amount of the preference that's currently in statute from 10% to 5%. When the original statute was put in place, 10% may have been necessary to ensure that recycled products could be purchased. The trend has been that recycled products don't cost that much more than non-recycled products anymore, so we believe now is the time to go ahead and reduce that to 5%. In addition, changing the term starch-based to bio-based will increase the number of products eligible for this preference, and we don't want to bust the budget by having a 10% preference as a requirement. If you decide to provide the preference, we do want to encourage the purchase of these types of materials, but we want to make it reasonable. There is currently a statute of 5% that's provided to South Dakota milk producers, so we looked at that. Also, the state of Illinois recently passed their bio-based legislation, and it provides a 5% preference as well. So that was the guide we used to decide on 5%. This is a permissive preference. It's not mandatory. Agencies can use it if they want to. It's at their discretion. Agencies can also, if they decide to, use their minimum requirement for items they're specifying to be bio-based. So that would necessarily be a 100% preference if they decide to do that. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Okay. I'll ask, are there further proponents? Seeing none, are there any opponents? Why don't you just stay there for a second? We'll close to committee questions. Any questions from the committee? Representative Gillespie, just want to save you a few steps.
No problem.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. How much is a 50% reduction in the cap going to impact the use?
Use of this preference?
The use of either recycled or the proposed bio-based material. I mean, what kind of a cost difference are we talking about? And by reducing it 50%, are we basically going to eliminate the preference?
I don't think we're going to. I honestly can't tell you when I have used the preference today. I've been the director of procurement for 9 years. And so far, I can't recall a time when I've actually given the preference. I think the reduction will probably encourage people to provide the preference because of the cost. If you get too high, if you're providing 10%, some people don't want to spend that much more money. So I think it'll actually encourage more use of the preference. And as far as the state goes, if I can go further, our intention is to start specifying more of these products as our minimum spec. So the preference may not mean that much to us, because we'll actually be asking for some of these products.
Thank you. Further questions?
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Dykstra.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The language here says that that state should give preference anyway, right? And then it gives a latitude of up to 5% above the lowest bid. Isn't that correct?
Mr. Chairman, the current statute allows state government and political subdivisions at their discretion to provide a preference. So we indicated in our specification that we may provide this preference at our discretion. So if we get a vendor that submits a bid and identifies a product as meeting our requirement for preference, then we can evaluate to see if they're within the 10%.
Follow up, Mr. Chairman.
Brandon.
The question I have actually is, if you were, the way this works, we would like to have a preference. I think we would all like to give preference to green and environmentally friendly products. The second part of this means that if you're bidding state contract, you have the latitude to bump your bid up a little bit because it doesn't have to be cost competitive with non-recycled material. And so it can actually work against us a little bit in the way this works. I'm wondering if we would really lose all that much if we made it a preference to use products from recycled material, but eliminate the premium, so that those products had to compete on an even playing field. Wouldn't we actually get more of them that way?
Mr. Chairman, I think I understand the question. Are you saying make a preference just for the products without a percentage? I think we can do that. I personally think that at our level, the state or local government level, we make that decision to purchase those products, and we have that ability now. So we can, for our minimum specification, make a policy decision that we're going to purchase recycled products or bio-based products. Then this wouldn't apply to us because that would be the minimum, and they'd be competing against each other. Now, whether or not we'd be paying more, we wouldn't be paying more probably for bio-based products that meet the spec because they'd be going against each other. But if there's a non-bio-based product that would come in 10% less, the state loses that capability to make that budget decision to purchase the lower priced item. I don't know if I answered your question or not.
Other questions? Any other questions? Seeing none, thank you.
Thank you.
No further questions. We will move to comments and or action from the committee.
Chairman.
Representative Hargens.
I would move to pass.
Second.
Motion by Hargens, seconded by Representative Dietrich. Do pass motion on House Bill 1041. Comments on that motion? Seeing none, the motion then is do pass 1041. All those in favor vote aye. Those opposed nay. Secretary will please call the roll.
Bruner.
Aye.
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 Miles.
Aye.
Moore.
Aye.
Ray.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Motion carries. House Bill 1041 goes to the floor. Do pass. Representative Hargens, would you like to carry that on the floor?
Certainly. That's all right, man. We use the hard G, but it took me 5 years to learn how to spell it.
And you didn't realize you've been in the legislature.
But I was much younger then.
And I would remind the secretary that nobody catches any slack in this committee. Including the chairman from the secretary, probably. Okay. That ends the short calendar today. Anything else? Any other announcements for the committee? Seeing none, motion to adjourn by Bruner, second by Representative Cutler. Comments on the motion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye. Motion carries. Meeting is adjourned.